Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When you need a doctor, you don't necessarily need a city. According to statistics provided by Avera Health, Avera eCare serves more than 18,000 patients per month while saving more than $4.7 million in healthcare expenses. As we continue our conversations regarding innovation in rural healthcare in South Dakota, we welcome Deanna Larson to the program. She is CEO of Avera eCare. Deanna Larson, welcome.
Good morning, and thank you so much for the invitation to be with you today.
Let's start with a little bit of your background, because you've seen what rural healthcare looks like up close. Tell me some of your background that's pertinent to the role that you serve today.
Sure, thank you. I'm an RN by background, and so I've worked in many areas of the healthcare continuum. And as a part of an executive role at Avera Healthcare, I was served as the senior vice president of quality for several years, more than a decade. And in that role, I had the opportunity to travel our health system and support interpretation of regulation and how to really improve quality in critical access facilities, nursing homes, home care, clinics, all of the aspects of the continuum of healthcare. And oftentimes I saw providers who are trained, both physicians, nurses, pharmacists, trained at our same nursing and medical schools as those who are participating in care in our more urban centers. And I would hear things about, especially in peer review magazines and articles, that quality in our rural facilities wasn't equal or parallel to that of in the rural. So I had a lot of opportunity to take a look at the reasons why review articles may be citing those kinds of quality outcomes and what the impacts were locally, why that was happening, which all of that background for more than a decade really brought me then to this opportunity to use telemedicine as a vehicle of equalizing that quality in our rural geographies.
We think we know what telemedicine is. I thought I knew until I started, digging around on the Avera eCare website about everything that you do. So this is more than just, a virtual video chat with, a provider. It would take a long time to describe everything that you could do, but how do you encapsulate that for people who are wondering?
I think the best way to do that is to think about how medicine really works. Medicine often is taught to either physicians or nurses or pharmacists that they work in a collegial, colleague kind of an environment, really dependent and codependent on each other. So we set up a service that's 24 hours available to our rural clinicians so that they now have access to providers that they can work with in taking care of patients beside each other. Although it's virtual, they hardly notice that. So if you're talking ED as an example, a family practice provider goes to a rural community and is asked to provide all of the health care for that rural community. And you can imagine there are individuals in that community that need access to cardiologists or pediatricians, and specifically may need access to trauma care when that family practice provider is now also covering the ED requirements of that community. So take that perspective, that background, one provider kind of filling in all of those requirements, and now give that family practice provider access to a colleague 24 hours a day. So he goes or she goes into the emergency department to take care of a motor vehicle accident. At the hit of a button, can have a board-certified ED physician in the room with them, helping to be in collaborative practice, really talking about, what could be considered or how could they help them. Can they support with a transfer if needed, or can they help them take care of the patient locally? So it's really that physicians aren't meant to be, and nurses, they're not meant to be working in isolation. So we bring them practice partners virtually. That's really different than traditional telemedicine, where you had one maybe pulmonologist reaching out to a patient in a clinic and really doing that pulmonology consult with them and helping the local provider one patient at a time. We're actually doing healthcare system to healthcare system to give all of those clinicians access to partners and collaborative relationships.
How does it work on the other end for the physician who is in, you know, the hub area? Take me in that room a little bit and paint a picture for what that looks like and how many people there, you know, really accessible to during a shift.
Sure. So I'll use the ED again as the example because it has been one of those things that's really helped our rural communities. So in the hub, we would have an aborted ED physician, and we would have nurses who have worked for many years in ED medicine and ED settings across probably urban settings. So they're there. They don't have a patient. We're in a geography that's 5 to 10 miles away from any hospital. So we're sitting in a hub, and we're available in that case of ED medicine to more than 150 different hospitals who, again, at the push of a button, will have access to that team of providers. They're usually calling for things that are very critical in nature. So they're wanting help with trauma. They're wanting help with cardiac events or neurology events, pediatrics. Calling in, and they're basically telling our physician, here's what's going on, and then they start to collaborate in the medicine. The nursing staff help that local nursing team by doing a lot of their documentation so that they can use their hands to be administering medications or starting IVs. We also work collaboratively with that team by knowing all of the tools, the medications, the supplies that are in their ED, and we can actually help direct them to those supplies. We have phone numbers of all their staff, and we can, based on their request, call staff in. If it's maybe a multi-victim vehicle accident, we will call in additional staff. And we can call out whatever ambulance they want to use, whatever air transport they want to use. We have all of those numbers and can help them get all of that arranged so that they can. Oftentimes it's one or two people in the room on the ground. So our team is doing all of that background calling and arrangements so that the two or three people at the facility can continue to render care.
How can a physician in the hub area know to direct someone to where things are located in their own ER?
Sure. Well, we map all of that as part of the implementation when we go into a hospital and we want to be a collaborative partner with them. We actually have a footprint map of their cabinets and drawers, and that facility, you know, we go through it with them, and then they help us keep that up to date. And why would we do that? I just want to take into consideration, let's say it's a pretty small community, and they haven't had to use an interventional, I'll use a cricoid otomy as an example. That's a procedure, a last effort kind of procedure, but life-saving, that most facilities won't do once in a year or maybe even 5 years. So you can imagine if you're not the person that's working the shift when that happens, specifically the nursing staff who set those instruments up for the physician, you may not even know, you know, where that's stored. So, and you get pretty nervous when all of those life-threatening situations are going on. So having a colleague there to say, hey, it's in cabinet 2, drawer 3, really, really helpful to support them in that way so that they don't have to belabor that and think about it. It's they can continue to think about how to do what's there at hand versus trying to race ahead in their minds. Very helpful. And I just would add that that isn't any different than if you walked into a Sioux Falls hospital. There would be, you know, more numbers of people in the room to accomplish the same thing. It's just that the bodies and the situation of the staff are going to be much less. So helping them any way we can, being virtual, they have found to be, you know, just majorly supportive. The other thing I'd mention on the burnout, what I'd really like to mention here is, you know, when you have, when you're working in an emergency department, there will always be times when someone arrives that's mortally injured or has a situation that maybe is not looking like it's going to have a good outcome. The other thing we do support our rural communities with is some debriefing if there is a mortal injury that occurs. We will talk to them about, can we have a call in a few hours just to talk with the staff who are involved with that and just make sure that they feel supported and debriefed, and certainly can talk about, you know, everything that was possible was done, and we also will bring in our pastoral care team to just walk through that with them and support them through that. And, of course, that isn't every time, but, again, in the small communities, often those individuals arriving at the ED are people they know, their neighbors or family members. And so that kind of support really helps with the burnout, really helps them to know, you know, they're there doing the work they've been called to do and being supported by, again, not working in isolation.
You're just tuning in. My guest is Deanna Larson. She's CEO of Avera eCare. And I'm wondering what your reach is in South Dakota. How many South Dakota rural facilities are participating in this program?
You know, between all of the different service lines, from long-term care to pharmacy to, again, the critical access hospitals, there's well over 80 facilities that we have involved, and some of them having more, you know, more service lines than the other. I think what's also important that this has become so well engaged by rural communities that we are now in 15 different states across the U.S., primarily in rural communities, offering the same access to services and support for patients and support for nurses and pharmacists and physicians in the care that they can provide in those rural communities. You know, the other aspect of that is so important, that the more care that's appropriate to be retained and supported in rural communities, it's also a big flag and indicator for the rural economics. So every time we keep a patient in Gregory, we know that that's important for the rural, the city, the economy there, often the biggest employer. The more work we can keep for clinicians local, the better off the economy is going to be.
I was just about to ask you about the financial model and how communities can, you know, sort of afford the service. And is that part of the answer there, or is there more to the answer?
That's part of the answer. We certainly like to support them in care. Anything that we can do to retain more patients is important for the patient, important for the family, and important for the skill set of the local providers and to keep clinicians there. Our model is a business-to-business model, so we contract with the organization to be available as many times as they need us at the flat rate, so we don't charge a per-click rate, so to speak. The local provider there does all of the billing. There's always a provider in the building, so they continue to bill for all of those professional fees of services that we're collaborating with them. So we don't take over primary. They retain that primary role, and we make sure that they're supported in that work. So there's economics in them retaining that primary role and doing that billing from the local facility.
What does this look like in the future as this model sort of, you know, continues to get, you know, streamlined and more people are aware of it? What's the potential in South Dakota specifically for how rural healthcare can change?
I think one of the things we've really learned is that we can support rural communities by bringing them these collegial practices into their communities. How do we set them up? It seems that we've kind of cracked the code to how to make sure that we have connectivity into our rural communities. I think the future is, because of the workforce shortages on several of these professionals, how do we arrange the team around the professional? How do we use advanced practice providers and other individuals, as we call it, at the top of their license, doing all that they've been trained to do, and bringing in some of the higher-level specialties virtually? Again, anytime we can retain those clinical practices in those hometown communities, there's really no limit to how much of that you can do. We're seeing more and more of the radiologic and pathologic services being delivered virtually, behavioral health being delivered virtually, so that we can reach out and have access to more of our rural communities. So I think the important piece is that we continue to have open minds to what it is that can be delivered on this vehicle, and then help and support the educational system so that they're training physicians and nurses on these tool sets, as well as train the local community in the engagement of utilizing them.
You mentioned, you know, colleagues, you know, that relationship between a physician and colleagues and how important that is. And then with some of the other, virtual appointments that patients can have through Avera, I'm guessing you've thought a lot about how to get over that barrier of, you know, a screen, because so much about, you know, working with a colleague or working with your doctor is about that close personal relationship. What ways, and we'll just finish with this, what ways has Avera sort of figured out to, you know, get past that and make it more personal and the way we sort of expect our healthcare to be?
Sure. A lot of that is about relationship, as you described. And so as we start in looking at providing services in any of our communities, we want to be a part of that hospital system or that health system. So instead of bringing them into Avera, we reach out. And so our physicians, we make sure that they know each other, that they've met one-on-one before they actually began the virtual relationship. So a little bit different than some of the dating kind of methodologies that are available today. We actually want them to meet face-to-face and make sure that they can develop that relationship and then continue that virtually, because it seems in South Dakota today, you know, we can do a lot over a cup of coffee, and that first meeting is really imperative to get the trust level and the relationship building started.
Deanna Larson is CEO of Avera eCare. Thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.